B-Pod Studios.
Are you ready for this? This is Felt and Mass.
Oh, that's stupid. My God.
Children's song.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Andrew Wiggins, he's not an underdog. He makes $32 million. While the Warriors were down these last couple of years, winning no games, they kept spending money because they've got it. They re-signed Draymond Green. They re-signed Steph Curry. They re-signed Kevon Looney. They kept Andrew Wiggins. And boy, did it show up tonight. Andrew Wiggins, with the supreme moment in his career, he was a throw-in in a trade. Other teams would have totally gotten rid of him. They stuck with him. They have a $340 million payroll when you consider taxes. You don't just have to beat the Warriors on the court. You got to beat their checkbook. And nothing away from Andrew Wiggins tonight, but this was a checkbook win for the Warriors.
So that was Brian Windhorst the other day. This was a checkbook win for the Golden State Warriors. And if you were listening carefully there, did you hear what he said his payroll was?
Yeah, 170-something million.
Okay. So the Warriors are paying their players around $176 million, but they are a repeat luxury tax offender. So do you know what they're paying in luxury taxes? So you know all this because I put it in our email chain.
Yeah, but explain it to people.
Their luxury tax penalty is $170 million. Their payroll is $176 million, and because they've gone over the tax so much, they're paying $170 million in penalties, bringing their total payroll to $346 million.
For 12 players.
What is the New York Yankees payroll? Or the Dodgers? What's the highest payroll in baseball?
No, the highest in baseball, believe it or not, this year, I think, is the Mets.
At what?
$290 million.
Okay, and what are they paying in tax?
Oh, gosh, it'll be, $80 million or something.
You think it will be?
Something like that.
Okay. The Golden State Warriors.
Actually, I take that back. It'll be less than that.
Okay, so I should have just thrown that at you. Here's what is known. The Warriors are far and away the most expensive team in sports.
Yeah.
Their payroll, including the tax payment, so whatever the Mets are at, whatever their payment is, isn't close to the Warriors. The Warriors are not just the most expensive payroll in sports. They're the most expensive payroll in the history of professional sports.
Definitely.
Yeah,
make it easy.
$350 million. What's the Patriots payroll?
That's a good one.
For 60 freaking guys in a sport where the revenues are, you know, they dwarf the NBA. Whatever the salary, you know, they just spend to the cap and fake it even there. But around $200 million, call it, whatever. The Warriors are more expensive by far than the Patriots.
It's insane, Mike. Again, when you add in the luxury tax.
And when you say the roster's 12 or 15, whatever it is, it's really for eight guys.
Yeah, right. Right. And so, you know, obviously you have to count that luxury tax. 350 balloons.
So, Zach Lowe.
350.
I'm reading from the CBSSports.com story on this. ESPN Zach Lowe reported earlier this week that rivals are already grumbling about Golden State's competitive spending advantage. But as Warriors general manager Bob Myers sees it, his team is merely operating within the confines of the rules. Quote, "I think on that point, you should be allowed to spend on your own players," Myers said recently.
Yeah, what are other teams grumbling about? You could go over the tax, too.
He says, "I mean, we drafted a lot of these guys. We developed them. It's not like we went out and signed all these guys as free agents and built the team that way. We're the team that drafted Steph Curry. I was here when we drafted Klay. We drafted Draymond Green. We drafted Poole. We traded for Wiggins. Nobody wanted Wiggins," said Myers. I mean, nobody was saying anything then. As the story goes on, he says things are only going to get more expensive for the Warriors. Gary Payton, Otto Porter, and Kevon Looney are all set to be free agents this offseason. Jordan Poole is also eligible for a contract extension. And Wiggins expires after next season. ESPN's Bobby Marks estimates that their combined payroll and taxes could reach.
Can I guess?
Yep.
I'm going to say add another $100 million onto what we had. I'm going to say $450.
Yeah, four and a quarter, something like
could
that.
Could reach $475 million.
Holy crap.
Holy crap.
If they keep the entire team together. And they just might do it. Myers recently made it clear that the Warriors are going to re-sign Poole. Who else they choose to keep is more of a mystery. But Lacob, again, Joe Lacob, the owner, has made it clear that he's willing to pay top dollar for talent. If other teams aren't willing to do the same, well, then that's their problem. Oh, that is...
Don't you love that?
That's refreshing. Like, that is like, tie me off and put it in my veins. Do you hear that, Robert? You hear that, guys around here? You hear that, Jeremy? He's willing to pay top dollar for talent, and if other teams aren't willing to do the same, well, then that's their problem. When's the last time a team around here said that? And I'm not complaining about the winning. We win plenty. Like, I'm not saying these guys are bozos. But I do, as you've come to learn here in the 13 years on the air, I get offended when an NFL owner, you know, throws a salary cap in my face. And these guys do it a lot.
It's not just here. Most teams won't do this. Stan Kroenke in this Rams team this last few years, the only one that comes to mind that's anywhere close to what the Warriors are doing.
I was just going to say what Murray said. Forget about here. This is an aberration in all of professional sports.
It's true. So I do. I mean,
with the possible exception of Steinbrenner when he was the owner.
I get on these guys because there are teams, but we can say this about most markets. Well, there's a salary cap. F you. Really? There is? Go tell the Rams that. I mean, don't get me started with the Rams. The story says, while there are certain mechanisms that can trigger a hard cap, there is not a defined upper limit on salary spending in the NBA. By retaining their own players and only adding expensive new ones through trades, the Warriors are essentially free to spend as much as they'd like so long as they don't violate any other rules in the CBA. And again, as Joe Lacob has made it clear, if other teams don't like it, that's their problem. Oh,
it's a great line.
Oh.
Oh. And he's right. It is their problem.
So their payroll right now, when it all is factored in, is $346 million. Now, the Celtics. The Celtics are a pretty... They're a tax-conscious team, aren't they, Jimmy? Didn't they do things even this last deadline to stay under the tax?
Yes.
Yes.
So they... But they've also, when they had Garnett and Pierce, they went into the tax and they spent.
Right.
So,
and I think they went over it by a decent amount through those years.
I think Wick is on record as saying, if we have a championship team, I'll spend what it takes. But if they're not... They're going to be conscious of the tax, which is interesting. So maybe at the deadline, they didn't really view themselves as this kind of team.
Mike, they definitely did. They were surprised by this turnaround as much as anybody.
So they stayed under the tax. I can't remember exactly what they did, but they did a couple of things there to make sure they were under that tax.
Yeah, it was Richardson, really. That was part of the Richardson logic.
Is part of the reason you might go down here is spending. The Warriors were a team that was willing to spend on someone like Andrew Wiggins, and you're not.
Yes, definitely part of the reason.
And he could end up being the difference. I would also say, if you want to be the new Warriors and keep Brown and Tatum, this is something you have to consider. You know, the Warriors have kept all their players. Why? Because of their willingness to do whatever it takes financially. And not just give Steph Curry $45 million a year, which is what I think he makes. Curry makes 46. Klay Thompson makes 38. Andrew Wiggins makes just under 32. Draymond Green makes 24. They're paying Wiseman just under 10. Kuminga is the rookie, 5.5, all the way on down the line.
The top four guys alone are basically $140 million.
So they have four max guys, basically. Dream Green doesn't really qualify anymore. But the point is, the reason those guys love it out there, Curry and Thompson, and they don't want to go anywhere, is not only that they get paid, not only are they maxed out, the owner's going to pay anyone that's helping them win championships and not going to let them go. And so the owner out there is willing to pay $170 million just in taxes, just in the luxury tax. Never mind the payroll of $176, $346 million. I heard that number. I said, what?
Do you think it's worth it?
Yes.
Of course it's worth it.
Yeah, because
you're
in it year in, year out, other than, you know, this last year where they kind of tanked these last couple of years.
What do you think the value of the franchise is there? And also, their marketability, particularly in the Asian market, is huge.
Yeah, worldwide.
Huge.
Well, this leads to the conspiracy theory of why the Warriors are so bad in these closeout games on the road. This was written in the San Francisco Chronicle, okay? Three of their six losses this postseason came in elimination games, game four against the Nuggets, five against the Grizzlies, game four against the Mavs. These were road games setting up home games to clinch. Conspiracy theorists believe that there was far more to the Golden State Warriors' three closeout losses this postseason than missed boxouts or jumpers. According to the story, Golden State made about $7 million per home game in the first and second round of the playoffs, with that number spiking to roughly $10 million in the Western Conference Finals. Some cynical NBA fans assume that the Warriors' closeout losses were part of an elaborate plot for Joe Lacob to, this story says, pad his profits. I would say recoup his tax dollars. Isn't that interesting? You know, that 55, that game, it was the Memphis one, right?
Yeah.
Where they were down 55.
Correct. Oh, yeah, they packed it in that
55,
night.
And Morant was out.
Yeah.
The Warriors weren't losing that series. They go to Memphis, totally tank it, and then come home and blow them out and, you know, finish it up in game six at home, put another $10 million, $7 to $10 million, and that's how Lacob's making his money back?
Yes.
Isn't that great?
I mean, again, now, whether that was, like, done as a solid for the owner or was just a benefit of the way NBA players typically react, whatever. You know, they cashed
okay.
in on that game.
Either way,
sure.
The Warriors are a model. That's a model. Never mind all the great personnel work that Myers has done, which I'll get into in a second. They're a model.
He the guy with the suits that sits in the hair?
Yeah, he's a...
Oh, God, that guy's a tool.
Douche nozzle.
He is a tool. He's the one who was crying when Clint Thompson...
Yeah, no, or Durant. One of them.
When, oh, maybe it was Durant.
Whatever.
He was crying.
He's painful.
Oh, what a toolbox he is.
But he's good.
He's excellent.
He's good.
Great GM.
They are. They're the model. I'll give you some of the personnel work they've done. But just from ownership on down, the commitment from the ownership level. And I don't want to dump too much. The teams around here have won so much, and they're, you know, it's not like they don't know what they're doing around here. But it's just so refreshing. Instead of him saying, well, the salary cap, like I would hear around here, instead it's saying, we're going to spend every dime we're allowed to spend, and if you don't like it, that's your problem.
I like that question. $346 million. What do the Patriots spend?
So we'll pick this up on the other side with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
That's great.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Celtics and the Warriors tonight, and Felger and Mavs are getting you ready. Broadcasting live from the Harp, thanks to Michelob Ultra. Enjoy every bucket on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
An NBA Finals we have waited years, maybe decades for, is underway. Rob Williams wins it back into the hands of Marcus Smart. And away we go. Back out to Derek White. Pump fake, shot clock down to two. He has to launch a tough three, and he hits it again. Derek White has tied game one. Kick out Horford. He's open for three. Got it. Tatum, over the shoulder pass. Marcus Smart, left side three. Good night.
What'd they say about Marcus, man? What'd they say? Stunned.
They hit 21 threes, and Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Derek White combined for 15 of them. So, be fine.
Jaylen Brown, gonna pull up for three. Draymond knocked him down. He'll get three free throws. Jaylen Brown shoves Draymond's shoe away.
Yeah. Draymond's just out of control.
He is.
That's what Draymond's gonna do. He's gonna try to muck things up.
That Draymond Green was doing during the 80s, he got knocked the out.
Al Horford spins half court, falls down. Another breakaway layup for Bealiza. Ime Udoka will call a timeout, and I'm pulling everybody out right now as Golden State dominates the third quarter. A pull away and hand the Celtics their worst loss in months. The final score in game two of the NBA Finals, Golden State 107, Boston 88.
We look at it as a disappointing loss in game two, a game we didn't play up to our potential and our standard.
Back to Jaylen for three. Got it. Klay Thompson against Jaylen Brown. Jaylen reaches for the ball, knocks it away, but Klay has it back. Shot clock at seven. Gets it back from Poole, drives, and Jaylen swats it into the front row. Brown wow. Stay with him the entire time. Jaylen Brown has been the best Celtic through the first three games of these NBA Finals.
When we win as a team, no, it feels even better. And tonight was a great team win for us.
On the crowd's response to Draymond, classy, very classy.
We've played in front of rude people before, dropping F-bombs with children in the crowd. Real classy. Good job, Boston.
Yes, my family is livid. Trust me, I get it. I totally understand. No harm, no foul. Draymond, you too.
Warriors by one, but here's Jaylen's three. That's no good off the back iron. The rebound for Steph Curry.
I think it said Jaylen looks like he's getting a little tired out there.
Tatum straight away three in the air. No good. Back iron. Missed it badly. Rebound Draymond Green.
Horford a straight on three. They've had some good looks, but the threes won't go down as Curry comes the other way.
Steps back on Derek White and hits the big three. Curry gets the free throws. A 16-3 close to game number four. The NBA Finals that everybody hoped would go down to the finish are now a best of three. Tatum, pounded by Otto Porter, drives strong left side and throws it into the front row, and the game begins with a Jason Tatum turnover. Wiggins almost had that offensive rebound. Tatum drives strong on Wiggins, gets in deep, travels. Boston 0-for-4 with a turnover to start the fourth quarter. Jason Tatum has now tied LeBron James' record, most turnovers in a playoff year. Marcus Smart dogging Wiggins at half court. Wiggins right-hand dribble there. Drive, gets in deep, flushes hard on Derrick White. And the Golden State Warriors will go to Boston Thursday night with a chance to win the world championship.
Playing in the crowd too much is the cause of a lot of these turnovers. Obviously, Jason, Marcus having 4 and Jalen having 5. Our primary ball handlers that get caught in some tough spots at times.
Do whatever it takes to win. And that can look different from game to game. But that's the mindset that you got to have. And then, you know, hopefully a game 7.
Okay, Jimmy's fine look back at the series so far. I just want to finish up on the Warriors, just how they're a model. And look, if you want to be the Warriors, you can. I mean, I think a big component is how they spend out there and how that culture that's built out there is that the players know not only will I get paid, but they'll do everything we can financially to have the best team we can. They're not going to have players walk out the door over money. But this Myers, this Bob Myers, who again is a little bit of a nozzle.
Knob.
As our intern Brian Furzoco points out, if any of this stuff is wrong, I didn't go bother to look it up. So if it's wrong, blame him, Brian Furzoco. It's his fault.
Damn the facts.
But if it's all right, then he gets the credit. So, you know, the Andrew Wiggins trade was a big one. They traded D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins and a first, which became this Kuminga, who's not playing in the finals, but people look at Kuminga and say he's going to be like the next big thing.
Yep.
Stud.
He was a number 7 pick, I think, something like that.
So how about that? D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins and a first. It's not just the first, it's they didn't draft a guy. And that number 7 pick, that's a killer trade. But it starts with them willing to pay Andrew Wiggins his whatever it is.
32?
His $35 million. Andrew Wiggins, I'm sorry, $32 million. And go deep into the tax. And what, you know, Andrew Wiggins is $32 million, is really 64.
Right. It was a great evaluation by them, too, because Wiggins was a number 1 pick in the draft and wasn't living up to potential. But they looked at him and said, well, he's not living up to potential because he's not a number 1 guy. But put him on our team and he's going to be damn good. And he has been.
So that's a huge trade. They signed Gary Payton, who bounced around forever for everybody. But, you know, they've tapped into him. They drafted Jordan Poole, 28th overall.
He's good for them.
They drafted, Moses Moody and James Wiseman. Again, guys you're not seeing in this series. Signed Otto Porter and I can't pronounce a Euro with the dress socks.
Bielitsa.
So, like, they drafted Kevon Looney 30th overall. Like, that's a good spot for him. I don't think he's an elite talent or anything, but he's a, you know, important guy for them. Rotational piece. Like, They've done some really good stuff out there.
Yeah, look, and also they had one horrible year in there where they got the number 2 pick in the draft, and they took Wiseman. And not to, like, you know, now I sound like one of the callers, but at the beginning of the postseason when we were talking about the Warriors' window, this is why I thought it was a little longer than a lot of people realized. Wiggins is young. They got Wiseman with a high pick. You know, Poole has given them an injection of life. They're going to be around a little while. But that said, when Curry goes, I'm not sure whether these guys can all fill in and win it without
him. No, they can't. But something tells me, given the way they spend,
they'll find another solution.
They're going to find someone. Anyway, all right, so there's that. Back to your phones. Thanks for hanging on through that. I just found that interesting. Sean is in Salem. Go ahead, Sean. What do you got?
Yeah, and Clay being hurt, you know, helped the growth of those young kids also. So you got to have a little bit of luck when it comes to things like that too. But overall, they've done good. But you said it, Maz. You know, they need to play faster, move the ball, use their timeouts for extra rest. They need to get to the paint. The team that gets to the paint's 5-0 this series. And Golden State knows what's coming. They know Smart's going to give the ball to Brown or Tatum, and they defend them, not allowing those guys to go to their right. When forced to their left, they're just a fraction of themselves.
So that's just another little thing. The Warriors have ramped up the defense since game 3. We don't talk about it enough, and even just a simple adjustment like we would make on the schoolyard. He can't go left. You know, you can pick that up in one-on-one in a second, and something so simple as that. Force him left.
It's the most basic adjustment you can make.
Seriously.
Overplay him to his strong side, make him go the other way. So now look, I just think the caller, I'm big on the whole paint thing. I mean, as you know. And so the Celtics just have to figure out a way to pass the ball into the paint and not dribble it in there because they're getting stripped all the time.
Here's Brian in Warwick, Rhode Island. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Two quick points I want to make. It's just, you know, the eye test, man. These guys are clearly, they're on the decline, it looks like, as the series goes on. And it seems like the Warriors are just getting better. And I'm sick and tired of this Kobe Bryant comparison that Tatum loves to make. If you want to call yourself, you know, compare yourself to this guy who was never satisfied until he won, go out there and freaking do it, you know?
Thanks. Okay, I hear you on both of those. The first thing on the decline is, I don't know if I exactly put it like that, but why I think people are concerned is that for the first time, there's like a trend line down for the Celtics. For the first time in a long time, the whole half of a year, but in the playoffs for sure. For the first time, a loss bled into the next one, and I think that the way they lost Game 4 definitely impacted how they started Game 5. And it feels like some of the same things repeated themselves from Games 4 to 5. That's really the first time it's happened this playoffs. So I don't even say they're on the decline or the Warriors figured you out or you just finally bumped your head up against the ceiling and now you're headed back down. But there is a feeling like that.
So, and I agree that the feeling is there, but is it real or is it imagined?
Ask me around midnight tonight.
Okay, so, and when I say is it real or imagined, the first three quarters of Game 4, they played well. In fact, the first three and a half quarters of Game 4. So it's really just a game and a quarter.
Yeah, did the fourth quarter of Game 4 break them?
Right. And so, you know, which is why I think they can still reverse this thing, at least for a game. And they can, you know, they can stop Golden State's momentum here, if that's what you want to call it.
Dave in the car, go ahead, please.
Hey, just take my call, guys. I just want to mention, like, I don't think it's getting talked about enough. What happened to this team with free throw shooting this series? I know Brown's been shaky all playoffs, and then Tatum went down the drain, too. It's just been horrible.
Okay, let me just stop you there. Let me follow you up with Joe in Florida. Go ahead, Joe. Same thing.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
You there?
Yes, go.
Oh, yeah, good. I got two quick points here. One, when Tatum came out the other game on Wednesday, the other night, the Monday night there, he comes out, and within the first minute of the game, he throws the ball in the stands. I don't know if he's throwing it to his kid. I don't know if he's throwing it to his mother up there. I don't know who he's throwing it to up there, but the guy's just, you know, he keeps telling us how he watches the videos on Kobe. He should be watching the videos on Larry. A good player knows where he is on the court. A great player knows.
Well, Joe, what's your second point?
Yeah. Okay, my second point is...
I don't want to get to your second point.
If you really want to learn the intricacies and beauty of basketball, you watch Bird, not Kobe.
His comment line said turnovers and free throws. Okay, backing it up with that other phone call.
Tightness.
Okay, so, but there is something to be said about all these adjustments and how they're going to play Jason Tatum, and I'll reset that story here in a second, his minutes and all this. You can make the case that the last game in a lot of this series has come down to turnovers and free throws.
Yeah, and I would put turnovers first.
So that's not even an adjustment. Get your head out of your ass.
Yeah, and I think
and make your free throws.
Well, and I think what worries me about the free throws is I think they're a product of the first thing. And when they say that, you say, well, how the hell is that? Because they're frustrated. They've lost focus. They're frustrated. They keep turning the ball over. They can't fix it. They're losing their minds. Then they get to the line, and they can't make an effing free throw.
Okay.
I'm sorry, when Jason Tatum misses two in a row.
Twice.
Right, twice. That is a problem. Like, that's mental. That's nothing but mental.
So what adjustments are the Celtics making heading into this game? There's some stuff out there about how they're going to handle Jason Tatum's minutes and some other things. We'll get to that after Murray gets you updated. Stephen A. Smith joining us on site here at the Harp at 5 o'clock. That's coming up later, but first the headlines and back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Time. Celtics fans, get ready for tonight's game now with Felger and Maz live from the Harp on Causeway Street. Thanks to Michelob Ultra on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game 6, you know, it's elimination game. There's not really time to be, you know, finding time to rest. You know, obviously, throughout the course of the game, you know, me and him will talk. If there are spots to find time to rest. But, you know, that's what timeouts are for. And at this point in the season, at most, we got two games left. So it's just mental. You got to fight through that. You know, I'm not the only person that's tired or dealing with injuries or whatever. You know, it's the last two teams standing. We've been playing 6-7 months. So everybody dealing with something. So I'm not really focused on that at all. Just, you know, we got at most a week left, and then, you know, I could rest all summer.
So that's Tatum on his workload. He and Brown have played huge minutes. He says, I can rest next week. Rest is what timeouts are for. Yet you're getting a sense that the team is looking at it and saying, these guys are gassed and they got to be rested. And that, you have the feeling that that may be in play tonight, which I just think, I was talking yesterday about this should be a game where you play 48, not go back and play 38. But as Udoka said yesterday, could be a fatigue thing. We'd like to get those guys, meaning Brown and Tatum, we'd like to get those guys a little bit more rest and have some fresh bodies coming off the bench to keep them fresh at the end of the game. So maybe they're looking at saying part of the reason we've stunk in the fourth quarter is that these guys are gassed. So we got to get them their rest earlier in the game. Brian Windhorst did a report this morning on ESPN. I'll play the whole thing here. We talked about three things they went over yesterday in a team meeting. One we've talked about a ton with the officials, but then he gets to the other two. And, well, let's just hit that, Jimmy, if you could. A Windhorst this morning.
Look, a big part of the story if the Warriors win tonight is going to be the MVP award. And we've talked ad
nauseam. So that's not it, Jimmy. It's Windhorst. It's the Windhorst report. Windhorst won.
Yeah, and since they had a meeting before practice yesterday and they went over some things that they need to do. Number one, they've got to stop complaining about the officiating. It is, regardless of whether it's fair or not, it is getting them out of position. That includes Coach Ime Udoka, who got a technical foul. That was something that they addressed specifically before they went out for practice to get ready for this game. The other thing is, they are making things a little bit too hard on themselves the way they're dribbling into traffic. So they are going to attempt to simplify their offense. I know that that sounds pretty basic at this point in the season, but instead of trying to create things on their own, they want to sort of use each other together instead of forcing it and therefore playing right into the Warriors' hands and creating turnovers. And the third thing is, Ime Udoka said this could be tough, but he might have to try to get Jason Tatum a little bit more rest during the game. It was pretty clear that he was on dead legs by the fourth quarter of Game 5. He has played almost 1,000 minutes in this postseason. He and Jaylen Brown both played over 44 minutes in Game 5. They need to try to protect those guys a little bit and give them some more energy late. So look for those changes and see if it'll be enough for Boston tonight to extend the series.
Okay, the ref pitching thing they've been asking for a year. Good luck with that.
Yeah,
that ain't changing.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, that'll sink in. Yeah.
Simplifying the offense, I kind of think they need to run more sets and maybe do a little bit something a little bit more elaborate other than just the hand it off to Tatum, have him drive and kick. But either way, they are looking at the offense. I think it's kind of a scary sign that they're trying to tweak the offense at Game 6 of the NBA Finals. But the big one to me is the Tatum rest. And it's just, I hate that message, you know, the mindset. I've said this all day, said it all day yesterday. Like, I feel like this is a game you go 48. This is a game where the number one player, the All-NBA, the superstar says, it's 48. I'm not coming off the floor. Instead, they're going in the other direction. It's kind of, I don't love that messaging.
So what I'm worried about more is that they're openly talking about being fatigued. Like, you know, so if they're tired, put it this way. If giving Tatum any sort of rest, Mike, prevents the air balls in the fourth quarter. Is it the right thing to do? Maybe, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. So, but the fact that they're talking about it tells me it's in their heads.
Yeah, well, this is why I mean, like, it feels like there's this organizational resignation since Game 5. That it's like, well, you know, they're fatigued, it's tired, we're going to throw some stuff at the wall, but I don't know, it doesn't look good for us. That's how it feels to me.
Yeah, that's the part that worries me.
It's just, boy.
I've never been around a team where late in the year or in a playoff series starts talking about fatigue and then wins.
Did the Heat and Jimmy Butler?
No, it's so true.
I don't think I've ever seen a team like that. And usually it's the kind of thing you hear about after they lose, which is, you know, and I'll pick any one of a million ones. The 08 Red Sox. You know, I had We a lot of innings, a lot of games. We were tired. We were broken down. You know, the Patriots in 05, we played a lot of postseason football. You know, we just didn't have it. And look, there's some truth to it, too. I don't want to, you know, yes, you've played a lot of games, yes. But if you were still cranking, you wouldn't be thinking about that.
Yeah, no one wants to hear that. And again, did the Heat and Jimmy Butler have this mentality in Game 6 of that prior series?
Jimmy Butler, Game 7, 48 minutes.
What was he in Game 6, too? I think it was like 48, 46?
46.
Yeah.
45, 57.
Yeah.
So, you know. And they were up, so I'm sure he came out in the last, you know, they probably emptied the bench. I don't remember specifically, but I have the feeling Butler was there to play 48 Game 6 and Game 7, and it was probably the last minute or two he probably came out.
Definitely. He definitely was there for the full 48.
So those, you know.
That guy's an animal. I love him.
I looked at LeBron the other day. He's done it 12 times where he's played at least 48 minutes in an NBA playoff game, some of them in the 50s with overtime. Maybe I'm just romanticizing the thing, but if you're a guy like Jason Tatum, you come into this game and say, no, I'm not coming off the floor. It's 48.
And I'll tell you.
But instead, he's, you know, fatigue, and, we're going to actually manage his minutes a little bit. You don't generally hear that. But
no,
anyway.
And if he's playing well tonight, 48 will feel like 38. Okay, because he won't even think about it. So there won't be a fatigue factor if it's... The reason why he's tired is because he's getting his ass beat. That's why he's tired.
Okay, Stephen A. Smith joining us here at the Harp at 5 o'clock. Your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Celtics and Warriors tonight. Felger and Mass now at the Harp across from the Garden. Thanks to Michelob Ultra. Enjoy every bucket on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Seth, you're one win away from a championship. How do you balance the magnitude of that moment with the need to remain focused and calm and play another basketball game? And what kind of advice might you be giving to some of the other younger teammates who are facing this for the first time, perhaps?
Thankfully, I think having been here 6 times and been in a lot of different closeout type of opportunities, you just understand what the nerves are like. So you can rely on that experience for sure. We understand the specifics of how we need to approach the game from a physicality perspective, our game plan adjustments from game 5 to game 6, understanding what the building is going to feel like, you know, and that energy and being prepared for it. So you got to remind yourself of that as much as you can before the game starts. But at the end of the day, once you get out there, you have to just be in the moment. You got to be, you know, present as much as possible, not worry about the consequences of a win or a loss. Because all the only opportunity you have is that 48 minutes. And the more you can kind of trick your mind into just being in the moment and staying there, that's the best advice I can give anybody in that situation. Because it's going to be the hardest game you've probably ever played in your career because of what the stakes are.
Steph Curry heading into tonight. Got to be a big worry for everyone around here. His motivations. And yes, I think the Celtics overall in a good spot with the Warriors having Game 7 in their back pocket. You see it all the time. That they don't fire all the bullets, and if they get down, sometimes they let go of the rope and say, well, we got them back home in Game 7. So that's, I think, overall a good spot for you. I did discuss earlier, though, how the Warriors sort of have that 2016 thing hanging over their head where they played that game against the Cavaliers and got burned big time. And sort of like that loss hangs over their head because they still sort of hold that, you know, well, you won with Durant, but what were you without him?
As it should. That was one of the great choke jobs of all time. You're up 3-1. What, they went 73 games that year or whatever the hell it was?
Something like that. So
that's right, Murray.
So does that experience, you know, lead them to, you know, treat this differently than a normal game, you know, a normal team would up in Game 6? You know what I mean?
Sure, and I would say yes. But I also think, you know, again, it's hard to ignore that LeBron was on the other side. Like, you know, LeBron in his own building in Game 6.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, from the Warriors' own perspective.
Oh, sure, sure, of course.
We did this before, and we blew it. We're not going to do that again.
Yes.
Game 6 is everything, and
yes,
they come in like that. So I wonder, you know, I think we can play that both ways. Steph Curry specifically and his motivation, you know, I've talked a little bit about how I think the crowd here in the Boston, just Boston being Boston, got under the skin a little bit of the Warriors. And maybe that's motivated the Mexter to say, you know what, normally we'd want to win at home, but F these guys. F us? No, F you. We're gonna win in Boston and wipe our asses with the Bill Russell Trophy is what we're going to do in front of you. I wonder if they have a little bit of that. I mean, Steph Curry alluded to that. And again, there's back and forth stuff with his wife who's a cook. Like, I'm not even going to get in. I don't care less about any of that. But I don't know. Curry called himself the Petty King yesterday. You have that, Jimmy?
I'm the Petty King, so I know all about everything.
And so he hears it all, sees it all, knows that you've been obnoxious. I think he's the type of guy, and I respect this. You know, I think he would see the funny in, sure, it'd be great to win in front of our fans, but to do it in front of these a-holes after everything you said, oh, we're the babies? Suck on this.
So I wonder about that.
Yeah.
You know, you are a particularly, I don't know, if I were a pro athlete, I would want to win in front of you. Let me just say that.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, more than say, a fan in Orlando, I just think you bring a little extra to the table that, you know, if I were an athlete, I would relish beating you.
So, just quickly from that, because you just triggered a thought in my head. Curry scares you in a game like this.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay, especially after he didn't hit a three-pointer in the last one.
And, you know, so I'll give you one more. We played some Windhorst today, but I thought he had some good stuff this morning. Windhorst talked about Steph Curry's specific motivations in this game. Go ahead, Jimmy. Do you have that?
Look, a big part of the story if the Warriors win tonight is going to be the MVP award. And we've talked ad nauseum about how Steph Curry, in spite of all the titles, does not have one. Brian, you mentioned this earlier in the show. You think it'd be extra sweet if he were to win it in this particular building tonight?
Yeah, he's having just an absolutely masterful series. And if he has another great game, I would think he would never have to answer another question like this ever again. I already think he probably doesn't have to. But there's only been one team in the history of the NBA to close out a finals in Boston. 75 years, all the opportunities. That was 1985 when the Lakers did it, when Magic Johnson had a triple-double. And that was one of his iconic games. So for Steph Curry to be able to potentially do that tonight, to have the supreme moment of not only getting his fourth ring, but that Bill Russell trophy, holding the Bill Russell trophy up in Bill Russell's town. I mean, I think he's probably thinking what an amazing opportunity this deep into his career that he has. He's such a confident player. He's not going to worry about anything else. And so this is maybe something he's been building to his entire career, and I expect him to play that way.
Okay, so
I'd defend him the same way they defended him in the last game. I would not, you know, have the big guy step up. I'm not giving him space. He'll torch you. Having Curry beat you worries me in this game.
Want to do it right now? All right, we got Stephen A. Smith from ESPN joining us here on set at the Harp. How you doing, Stephen? Good to see you, buddy. How are you? We'll do the top of the hour thing, Murray. You want to read your top of the hour update right now while Stephen's getting set?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.